Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott. And so glad that you tuned in today. Hope everyone in the radio listening audience is doing well today. And we have a wonderful and exciting topic for you today on the spiritual fullness. And before we get to our topic today, we'll have a word of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come to you this morning in the most humblest way that we know how. Lord, we just come to say thank you today, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you that we have another opportunity to be able to share with our radio blog talk listeners this morning, dear Heavenly Father, on the Word of God. Let it be something that we said, a nugget that we would bring forth today that would take someone along this Christian journey a little bit further to get to know you more, to get to learn more and more about your holy word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today is such a beautiful and exciting day. Whether it's raining in your part of the country or it's snowing or it's cold, it's still a beautiful day in the Lord. And today we are talking about spiritual fullness. And, you know, having spiritual fullness, I think of being abundantly satisfied, meaning, you know, your act of serving. You know, you have to think about that, the purpose God has, you know, since the beginning of time on the spiritual fullness. And on one of the chapters, I hope you have your paper and your pencils today, because we're going to be giving you scriptures. I have a guest that has just tuned in that I'm going to click over to them in a few minutes, that's going to share with you today on this topic on spiritual fullness. And before they come on, I'm going to tell you that on Ephesians 3 and 19 through 20 say that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourself the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. Without experience, what you may be filled with through all your beings unto all the fullness of God. I'm telling you, you know, this, as I was reading on this last week and this week, and we're, you know, it's a lot with a lot of scriptures we have today to give you. The exact nature of the fullness is defined in verse 1 through 4, and the world became flesh and dwell among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as only the begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And as we go further, I have a guest on the line. I'm not going to hold them waiting today. And we're going to give them about 20 or 25 minutes to share with you today on spiritual fullness. Well, hello, guests. Well, welcome. We have Evangelist Richard Bryan on the line with us today that will be sharing a little bit on the spiritual fullness. So for the next 25 or 30 minutes, we're going to let him share, and then I'll come back on. Good morning, Evangelist. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good to be on this talk show today, and we thank God for all the listeners. We thank God for just being attentive to the things of God and listening to the Word of God. It's exciting to know that we got God as our politician, and we thank God for him. Thank God that he is our God of promises. He's a God that made everything clear to us that in this time that we are in, living in this day of time. But it's just a blessing just to know that God is still real.
Yeah.
We know that right now that God is dealing with considering about with the world system, where the world is right now, and people going through their daily problems. And we have problems that nobody can solve but God. God is the sovereign. He's the God that can solve problems. We can't solve our own because it takes God to solve them. Because God, he's the God, the omnipotent God, and he's the God that controls everything. And he has our had us. He has us covered. But this morning we want to kind of talk to you this morning about concerning about spiritual fullness, and that's a deep subject to talk about spiritual fullness. And we know that satisfying, you can satisfy the deepness needs, but there's something about when Jesus spoke in the 15th chapter of John, when he said, these things have, 15:11 says that, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, now he's talking about his joy, the joy, remain in you. He's talking about the joy that remaineth in you. And that your joy might be full. See, the joy, he wants you to know that his joy keep you full. And if his joy keep you full, that means that you have to satisfy the deeper needs. Because he's the one that you get excited about. He's the one that's on. That joy comes from God, because you don't get the joy like you get, as they said, the joy of the world. But the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is thy strength. So we get strength through joy because of God. That means that we get happy when we think about the things of God and the things that God has said he would do and the things that he promised us, the things that he has spoke, you know, the things that he spoke into your life, things that he spoke from the beginning in your life, things that he made clear to you what he was going to do, the thing that causes you to stay where you at with God, cause you to keep focus upon God, the thing that you want God to elevate you in, the thing that you're looking to him as your source, and he's a need. And when your mind stayed up on him, and your mind completely knowing that joy, when you think about what God has done, the things that he said he was going to do from the beginning, because he made himself clear. He made himself declaration of his word. His word is still performing in the last hour that we're living in. So we count it, as he said, we count it all joy. Just begin to count all joy when the Bible said to count it all joy when we fall into diverse temptation. Count it joy, knowing that the joy that God is going to bring us out of what we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So we look for the things of God, and we was looking at certain scriptures pertaining to joy and the fullness of, and one of the ones Sister Sadie had spoke about, and that was in 3:19 of Ephesians. And Ephesians, Paul was explaining to the Ephesians about that certain thing about the fullness of God as well as the fullness of joy comes into that same respect way of what he's saying there, and he's speaking something direct to us that we can have this joy. Paul was relating to the 3:19. It's actually really referring to a prayer that he has made to the efforts of the church. He's explaining to us, and up above that 18th verse, he said, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. He said, and to know the love of Christ. He said, now you'll know the love of Christ after you receive the breadth, the length, and the depth and the height. He said, which passes knowledge, it's going to pass knowledge, that ye might be filled with, he said, filled with all the fullness of God. Then he let us know about the fullness of, and then Paul made a statement over in the first chapter of Ephesians. He was referring to about some spiritual gifts, referring to spiritual gifts, things that God was going to give unto us. And, I'll refer to that now. What he was talking about the body of Christ, because he said with his body, the fullness of him that fill all in all, that's the fullness of God, the fullness of God. God has a fullness in all in all because of his word. Now, we know the fullness of God, when you get, you are what you call containers. Every person is containers. And you when you got to put something in the containers to keep containers full, well, if there's not anything in the containers, you can't expect anything to come out of it because you don't have anything in it. But when you put something in the container, it causes something to stay in there because it's keeping it in there because it's sealed. Well, so you are sealed until the redemption, to the day of redemption. So we're in the day now that we have to have the fullness of God, because the fullness of God is showing the manifestation of his power. His power lies into the glory of him, as we see as the time, the closing of the world, which is the closing of the Gentile people, which is the world, they're dealing with the coming of the Christ. So we have to have the fullness of God to be able to go through the problems that we're going through in this day and hour, because we live in such a treacherous time, and you got to get full of God, or you got to get full with the Holy Ghost, which is the Holy Ghost representing the Spirit of God, at declaring in power over the works of God, the works that God have, the works of the enemy. The enemy comes in, but God still, his power lies within you. But it depends on how you arm yourself. We in the day now, we got to arm ourselves. Arm myself, as the Bible said, that arm myself likewise as the evil days approaching up on. So we live in it's a treacherous time. That means that the Spirit of God, and yet it wants to be full inside of you. That you said, almost like the Bible says, we walk in the Spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we got to have the fullness of God to be able to overcome the problems in our life. The devil loved to come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus, he came that you might have life. Life is in the Word of God. So you got to keep yourself full of the Word, because at the time now that the enemy loves to try to pick you in every area of your life, like to take advantage of you. And he loved to pull out what God put in you. He's out to try to sift you as we, trying to steal the joy out of you. He trying to take the wisdom out of you. He trying to do everything that God said he would do in the last days. And whether he don't want you to be blessed by God. Now we know that blessings come from God. It's almost like when we look back over in the book of Malachi and talking about the fullness of blessings of God, how God looked in we look over there in the book of Malachi, around about the 10th, 3 and 10, when he was talking about our giving, how he would protect us and all that, and the way he said he would do. He said in the book of Malachi 3 and 10, we're just going scripture-wise this morning, and we'll see what it says in the book of Malachi 3 and 10. Now, he's saying right here, he said, now, this is where your blessing comes from. He said, now bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now. He said, now prove me now. Herewith says, this is what God is saying. He said, the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's just letting us know. That's really letting us know. Bring your tithe. Now, people don't think tithe has nothing to do with bringing joy and bringing blessings in the house, but it has a whole lot to that, because it plays the biggest part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Your life lies in what you give to God. If you don't give anything to God, you're robbing God, or
yes,
you're robbing your protection of God. Mm-hmm. If you want to prove God for his word, you got to give like he told you to give, to have the blessings up on your life. So if you don't give, well, your life is at stake. If your protection lies in the word of God, and that's what God said, if you prove me, prove me for my word, and said, now I will protect you. I won't let nothing happen to you. I will keep you in the fold. I will watch over you when you're going through, when you're lacking, when you need. I'm there for you, because he is a provider, because he promises in his word. It's in the 4:19 of Philippians. He said, but my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That means he'll supply your needs.
Yes,
so if your meal barrel get low, glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
God, he will turn around and fill it. Because if you gave like he told you to do, he will keep it full. If you don't give like he told you, how you expect to reap the harvest? So your protection, now that's why he tells you got to give. When you're giving to God, you give to God. Don't give to the man or the whosoever. You're giving to God. You're telling God, I'm giving it to you, God. So I look around for you to bless me. Well, he's going to bless you according to how you sowed the seed. Now, we get down to the seed part, but that's something different. But it's not different, because it's something that when you sow something, you expect to receive something back. Well, that's the way of God. And when you sow into the tithes representing the storehouse. The storehouse is the kingdom of God. Even though you give it to the church, but the church is not the church building. Don't have anything about it. Even though the funds go in to help keep the lights and all that on, but everything. But it's talking about when you sow to God. You see, you're sowing direct to him, because he is the source. Now, if you don't sow to him, you can't expect him to sow back to you, because if you're looking for a hundredfold blessing, what did you do when you had them, what you had to sow into to receive the hundredfold blessing? See, if you don't sow what you said you're going to sow to God, and you hold back, even though you have money, and your money gets so low, and you be wondering where the money went to, well, how did you give? Did you give anything at all to keep money into your storehouse, to keep your house full of the need that you want? See, that's something about when people don't give. Now, this is the time right now we must start to give, because we live in a time that our protection lies in God, because he will supply the need. That's almost like when they said in the book of Kings, I think it was in about the Shunammite woman, when the meal barrel was low, when the famine came in the land, and she obeyed the man of God. So if you obey God's word, you will reap the benefit. That's what God expects you to do, is to give unto him, and your blessings come from him, and it'll remain your joy in your life. You know, when you think you ain't got it all, but you still got Jesus. So that's the thing about it. You still got him. When you ain't got no money, you still got Jesus, because he's still there in the protection. He protect your life. He didn't let nothing happen to you. You could have been dead and gone, but God, he spared you because you gave to him. You kept on sowing into the kingdom. And whatever you sow into the kingdom, God, you can be blessed, a hundredfold blessed, because God expect that. He expect because that's why he tell you, bring your tithes into the house of God and prove me. If you can prove him for his word, well, his word will come. That's almost like he said, now, the sower went out to sow the seed. The sower sowed the seed. He's looking for to reap the benefit from the sowing, by the sowing the seed. So your seed come by what you sow. Now, the Bible said, give and it shall be given back to you, good measure, pressed down, overrun it, and cause men to give into your bosom. That's the way. Otherwise, you'll find favor with men, and God will turn around and send somewhere. He'll send you something that you can be blessed, that you wouldn't know how it come. Well, God just remind you that you gave unto me, and I'm going to turn around and bless you because you made it real to me that you trust me. If that's proven, like, you proving God. It may not come when you want it, but it'll come right on time. It's never late. God's always on time. He's not a late God. He's a right now God. He's a God that's willing for you to believe. If you can believe that, and you can believe that God can sow, if you can believe God by sowing into his kingdom, well, God, he'll represent his word. His word representing him. Because you believe what you sowed into him, and you tell God exactly where you sowing that seed into. And when the seed is sown, well, the seed comes up where you sow it. If you sow, the Bible says you some sow 30, some sow 60, and some sow 100-fold blessing.
Amen.
And the 100-fold blessing came because what you did, because he doubled that. Because you sowed all that you had, and you gave into what you was looking for God to do, you made it known to God. So sometimes you have to make it known to God, what are you sowing for? What's the reason why you're sowing? But it really, literally, if you're a church member, you should always pay your tithe. That's something that you must pay. Otherwise, you're robbing God. Or you're looking for the blessings of God to come, but you done robbed God. You didn't give your tithe, and you wonder why. You wonder why that you have holes in your pocket? Why the money going out of your pocket? Where did it go to? And you got a check? You wonder where the check went to? You thought you had enough to pay, but what about God? You forgot. Mm-hmm. You didn't pay the first. You didn't give his 10% first. That's what he supposed to get his first fruit. He's your first fruit. You got to give it right off the top. You don't give God last. He's first. If you're expecting to get back what you reap, what you sowed in, what you got to give to God first. And God, he will cause your money to stretch. Because if you don't give it like he said, give it, well, the holes will come in and then you'll be wondering, how did I come up short? Well, you shorten God. That's what happened. You short God. When you short God, well, he blew on the money. In other words, it blew out of your pocketbook, it blew out of your pants pocket, it blew out of your wallet. That's when the money went so quick, and one day, wonder where did I do? What happened? Why did I come up short? Well, that's because you're not proving God for his word. And even though the money looked good, yeah, it looked good, real good, and you decide to do something else with it, well, you then that's temptation. That temptation draws you away from what you're supposed to have been doing. You're supposed to give to God that you run around, you return back the blessings of God. But otherwise, to keep the curse off of you, it's better you to give. Otherwise, you'll be cursed. Talking about a curse, you can make a curse for a bad curse on yourself because the way you do, because the Bible says ye are cursed with a curse.
Yes.
He said, for ye have robbed me. He said, now you have robbed me. He said, even this whole nation, I mean the whole nation, to rob God because they're not obeying God. They wonder why do people not get paid? Why they not get blessed? Why the economy like it is? Well, the economy like it is because people not obeying God. And that's why the world's in the system, and they're not doing exactly what God wanted to do from the beginning. All the world done got out of, they done got out of hand. They done got out of the hand of God. They're not doing exactly what God. That's why there's so much chaotic stuff going on about the money. Money is not the source this time. Jesus is the source. He's the one that's going to provide for us. The world cannot survive without God. No matter what's going on in the world, they cannot survive without God because God, he is the way. And he's the true God. He's the one that right now is make. And you're looking for an overflow of God. We're looking for an overflow of God. Well, one way you can get overflow of God is by doing what it said in the word of God, to keep the flowing of God in your life, keeping the work of God in your life complete in your life, that he would manifest himself in you because that's what God is expecting you to do. Now, we know one of the things I looked back over in the book of Psalms, now I'm at the 23rd Psalm and 5. And we look at a verse there, and it'll open up about the overflowing cup. And how it says that, made a statement here with David was saying. He said, now, he said, thou prepare a table. Preparing a table before me in the present. God is made and known to David. I'm preparing the table for you. He said, of my enemy. He said, of my enemy. And he said, you. He said, thou mean you. He said, that you anointed my head. He's anointed. He's anointed David's head. David's head was anointed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, with oil. He said, with oil. What was the oil? What was that oil representing? That oil was representing the fullness and the power of God. And it says, my cup runneth over.
Yes,
it said, my cup runneth over. Now that's the overflow of God's cup. You are the cup. And your cup can run over when you are anointed. When the presence of God is over, he said he'll make your enemy.
Huh?
He'll make your enemy your peace. He'll make your enemy peace. Because the overflow of the anointing is within you. Because he overflowed you by his blessings. He overflowed you by his love.
Mm.
He overflowed you by his joy. He overflowed you by his peace. He overflowed you by his love. He did all that. He's overflowing you every day. Every day that joy comes because you think about what he says in his word.
Mm.
Now that's a great illustration of what David, what he went through, and what God gave to him, and all the things that David suffered, the things that he did wrong before God, but God still didn't turn his thumb down on David. He made David. He made him old. That's what he wanted to do us. We can go through some trials, and we go different things that we go through. We hit hard about something that then disaster done hit us all at once, and we kind of get over panic sometimes. We get upset. We get discouraged. We get to the point that what we're going to do now, how are we going to do this thing, what I'm going to do now, Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your answer. He's the only one that will provide for you. You cannot survive without God. There's no way possible that a person can survive without God, because God, he's the only way, and he's your provider today, because he's making ways for you to be to the point that you can trust God for everything he said. Now, God done made a lot of ways for all of us, but we're in a time now that we got to really, really trust God, because the way the things are going into the world right now, we're leaning more to we're looking at the problem instead of giving the problem to the problem solver.
All right.
Now, he's the problem. He can solve the problem, but he tells us not to worry.
Yeah.
But if we're worrying, and worry is sin in the eyesight of God. You cannot worry about it. What can you do? All they're going to do is bring you anxiety, get you sick, you get stressed out, you get to the point that you don't know what to do, and God tell you not to worry. He said, if peace remained in you, you should be at the point that you should be relaxed and have no fear. Because God, he's a God that he don't want you to fear. He don't want you to be stressed out. He just wants you to trust him. He said, weeping may do for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He said, now, you may weep for a little while, but he said that joy is going to come. Where it going to come from? It's going to come from the word. When you think about what he said in his word, and when the words just come alive inside of you, his word remains in you, and it brings joy in you when you think about it. When you think on the goodness of the Lord and what he had done for you, you say your soul begins to start crying out to God, because you lean into God. You're not leaning to the problem. And the problem that it is, the world system is that we got caught too much in the world system than calling God. And if you get out of the world system and lean to God, God, he know how to bring peace out of confusion, or he know how to bring, when you under pressure, he know how to bring you out of pressure. Because you don't know how to get out of pressure, all you do is lean to it, because how you lean to it, how you yield to it. If you're yielding more to the pressure, that's what the pressure going to keep on bringing to the point that you be sick. And you be to the point to have headaches, and you have blood pressure rises up. All these things come from all the stress, because what the enemy do, he loves to put that pressure on you.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says that the devil going to wear out the patience of the saints. Well, he's going to wear you out to the point that you can't trust God. Well, they come to try to put you in that chaotic spot. Where is your God now? He'll tell you, say, where is your God now? But God said in his word, he said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. I'm right with you until the end of the world. He said, I'm in the midst of the storm. I'm in the midst of the trial. I'm in your way because I'm protecting you. Because if the devil wanted to destroy you, he could have got you a long time ago. But God said, I'm in the midst of holding it back. Only way the devil can attack you, but he got to get permission to attack you. He got to ask God, can he attack you? That's the only way he can do it. Is God puts you through the test. It's only a test. Brothers and sisters, it's only a test that we are in. But
yes,
the test is already made known to us. The testator done came and overcome the test that we done went through. But he already paid the price, so all we got to do is rest in him. He's our big brother. He's our high priest. He's the one that right now that paid it on the cross. So all we got to do is look back at the cross. Look back what Jesus did when he did on the cross. He took everything for you on the cross. He died and bled, but he still had declared all power was in his hand. So the hand that is in now, we are in his hand. So the devil can't pluck us out of his hand. So we still remain in him because he is in us, and we live and abide in him. That's why he said, greater is he that's in you that's in the world. So the greater one lies in the word of God. So spiritually, your mind needs to be spiritually full of the presence of God. Speak full with the presence of the Spirit of God. So you got your spirit. And you got your mind. Your mind is where all the government of your sense factor at, and your common sense. Well, your mind didn't get saved. Your spirit got saved, but your mind didn't get saved. So that's why all the battle and the pressure of this world bringing all in the reminiscent of the mind. But your spirit, it never worries. It's amazing how the spirit never worries, but the mind worries. It's the difference between the spirit and the mind. That's why the mind has to be governed by it goes by the natural thing. But the spirit man is governed by the spiritual thing. So if you can get the mind back into the place of the spirit, it'll know the things of the spirit. It will not know the things of the world system that come out of it. That means that you got to cram that word into your mind. Your soul is rammed. It's got to get to the point that your mind be trained into the word of God. And when it's trained into the word of God, you got a sword inside of that mind that the devil cannot do nothing with. The sword that's inside the mind to begin to cut. What do we cut up everything that the devil's not, that is not like God? It won't come in the mind. The mind be at peace. That's why he said the 20. That's why he said in the book of Isaiah that it said, now whose mind stayed upon the Lord, he keep in perfect peace.
Yeah.
Because why he keep you perfect peace? Because you trust him. You trust him because the peace of God raised all understanding. It means to understand it to you in God. You're related to God. You're in the fullness of God. And the fullness of God is overtaken by the God that lives inside of you. It takes you to one advantage. It takes you how that you be able to comprehend quicker with God, that God will give you revelation how to be to the point that when the enemy come in like a flood, the spirit of God, that means that spirit inside of you stands up strong. It would not be blown over. It would be not knocked over because it's got spiritual power inside that spiritual man. It make that man inside of you be tremendous over the problem. It thinks on heavenly things. It does not think on worldly things because it's the worldly things that the spirit, it cannot deal with it because it's always at peace. It's always to the point that it's relaxed. It don't worry about things of the world because if you don't feed it like it's supposed to be fed, well, it gets weak. So that means that if it gets weak, that means your mind gets weak and your body gets weak because it's not fed. That's where your strength lies in your spirit. Your spirit lies. That's where that strong man come in. That strong man is that one that is full of power of God. That's the one that stands high and tall. And look, that's why he said, fighting my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. It's the might that's inside your spirit. Your spirit longs without that presence of God, that their spirit right now. Today is your day. Today is your day to make a stand. Do not give up. No, do not go back where you was.
Yeah.
Go forward in
God.
Go back to the basic of God. Go back to the place where you know that you was right from the beginning. Let not stress take you. Let worry overtake you. But let God overtake you. Let God's fullness overtake you. Because when you have the fullness of spiritual God, God, he's a guider. He's a teacher. He's a learner. You learn from him, and he'll show you how to be overcoming through the problems of your life. If you just trust him, he'll bring you out of what you're in. Because
it's
a testing time
to
see how much patience that you have. That's where that patience comes in. We are the children of God, but we all of us got patience. Our patience runs out.
Yes, Lord.
And we don't have enough patience to wait on God. We suddenly do things on our own. We think we do things out of ignorance, even though we know that we didn't do the things like we're supposed to. But see, when you wait on God, Bible says, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew. That's the time that you have to renew. Your mind has to be renewed.
You have
to have a fresh anointing in your life. You have to be to the point that you have to have the fullness of God to overtake your mind, that you walk and walk and faint not. And you said run and not be weary. You won't have to worry about weary no more. You don't have
That's
to run
right.
and be weary no more. You just wait on God. It's a waiting period. God can surely wait you out. Glory to God. And the devil can wait you out too. But it depends on how your patience is. If you can have patience to wait up on God, you can go through the test. Glory to God. If you can go through the test will bring you through. The devil might maybe say, well, I'm going to take you through the fire. Well, the fire won't overtake you. Glory to God. The water won't overflow you. And you just stay right in the midst of it. Because God is the one going to bring you out of it. Because all you got to do is hold fast. Wait up
That's
on God.
Right.
Don't jump to the conclusion of God, because He said I wouldn't leave you. But He'll stay right there in the storm. But you feel that God doesn't forsake you. No, He ain't forsake you. He's right in the midst of it. He's just looking you to look to Him, not look at the situation around you. Because if you keep looking at the situation around you, well, you are not going to grow. You're not going to grow to the point that you cannot trust God. It's a time that we must trust God. It's a time we must be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of God. We got to be to the point that we got to hold fast. No matter what the storm brings, still, you are anchored in God. You got to be anchored. You got to stay in the boat. Don't get out of the boat. Glory to God. Because if you get out of the boat, you'll drown. Glory to God. And you don't want to drown because you're too far in the boat. The boat will keep you above everything. That's why the boat was that. Jesus is that boat. If you stay in that boat, He's anchored to
you. What you were saying, everything you're saying is by scripture and it's good. Let me add a few little things before we have to go off the air.
All right.
When I go back to Ephesians 3:19. And, you know, they're talking about the love of Christ is so great that it is beyond our understanding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, our understanding can be so fine, like, but God, our love is beyond our understanding, our comprehension. And the fullness of God is the abundance of gifts that flows from God. That means God has everything we need, that He will give us, that He is our provider, our joy, our strength, grace. And as I was reading also in Colossians, the first chapter and the 19th verse, here I was also reading about the fullness, about the opponent of Paul, and later the Greeks seemed to have used this word as a technical term for the sphere between heaven and earth, where a heterical of angels live, where the angels live. In here, Christ, as one of the many spirits, existed in this Herod archer between God and all His people. But, however, Paul used the term fullness to refer to the complete embowment of God.
Yes.
And Christ as the only intercessor for human beings and fully embodied all of God's nature. Also in 1 Timothy, and the 2nd and the 5th verse, it was saying no other intermediate, whether person or group, is able to stand in our place before the Father. Only Jesus can do this for us.
Yeah.
And when we think about the love and the joy that Christ had for us and the fullness of it all, what you have said, we have summed it up to our radio listeners today. I'm hoping they was able to get something out of the message today on spiritual fullness. Hope they got an understanding. Hope they had their pencil and their paper as you was giving them scriptures to go to where they could read it for themselves in their quiet time with God.
Yeah.
They can go back because it could have been a nugget in there that they had heard of or didn't quite understand, that we may have been able to give them a clarity today on it.
Yes.
that will take them further into Christ on spiritual fullness. And today I have enjoyed hearing you, evangelists, bring on spiritual fullness. And to let the audience know, next week we're going to have a very good show on our show that we were supposed to do the 1st of October when our my computer went out. We're going to go to the value of godliness.
Yeah.
The value of godliness.
Yeah.
That was a show we didn't get to do that we had a lot of information on it. And I know you was geared up and ready for that show. And all you have to do is just pull your notes up or pull up the scripture that you had, because we had really prepared for that show when the computer went out on us. But you know, God is able. Before we leave the show, I would like for you, if anybody in the Blog Talk Radio listening that need a prayer, or need a healing in their bodies, or need a word from the Lord, we're going to ask the evangelist to close us out today with a prayer and something he may have that the good Lord have put upon his heart to say to someone in the listening field today throughout the land. So, evangelist, would you close us out with a prayer? And it may be something God have told you that helps someone that's listening, or will come on later on Blog Talk, that will tune in to this show on Joy and Peace Outreach with our topic, Spiritual Fullness. So you have it for the next 3 minutes, minister to the people on air. Thank you so much for being my guest today.
Yes. We thank God for all the people that listen today. We thank God for right now that what God's going to do for the people. And let that person out there is burdened down right now. We believe the Lord right now is going to move in a special way for them. And right now, the people out there right now are suffering the diseases that's not of God. God said he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them all destruction. And I rebuke, I curse cancer, that person right now that has cancer in their body. I curse the roots of it right now that they be delivered, that they be set free right now in the name of Jesus. And that one right now that got bills that they're concerned about, we thank God for right now. The Lord, we destroy that right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord would bless her financially. That person was financially right now to be blessed of God in the name of Jesus. Father, we're just going to give you praise for that, Lord. We just thank you right now, God. That person out there got a heart problem right now. We believe right now the word of God said, let not their heart be troubled, but believe also in God. We send the word right now to that person that got heart problems right now. We speak right now healing right now. We command right now the flow of the blood, God, right now. We speak the high blood pressure today, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we curse that in the name of Jesus. And that person that have high blood pressure, we curse the roots of it right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to be made whole in Jesus' name. Father, we just want to thank you right now for what our ears and heard. We thank you for this time, this minute, this second, that we can be in the presence of the only wise God, our Savior. We thank you for the blessing of the listeners, oh God. We thank you, Lord, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for giving us what to say. If we've said anything to harm or hurt anybody, we ask you to forgive us, God. But God, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus, let the Spirit of you, God, arrest so upon those today, the listeners, oh God, that Lord, even those that would call in, oh God, that have comments, oh God, about what was spoken today, what it was a word that would encourage their heart to God to be a blessing, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. We just ask you, Lord, to bless this radio broadcast. Bless the announcer of the God. We pray that God you would bless her, God. Bless her needs. Bless our finances, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. We just give you praise today, God. We just want to thank you for this opportunity, God. We just thank you for all the things that you said, all the things that we remembered, God. Without you, Lord, we can't do anything, God. We ask you, Lord, God, right now as we get ready to go from this time, oh God, but never from the presence of you, God. But let the spirit of you, God, will touch in the name of Jesus, God. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And we want to thank everyone for tuning in today to Joy and Peace Outreach. And we hope you can tune in next week. And next week we're going to increase our time a little bit to give Evangelist Brian, if she should come on, a little bit longer to talk on the value of godliness.
Oh, yeah.
The value of it. And so until next week, for 10 to 10:45 or either 11 o'clock, we ask you to tune in to Joy and Peace. And if you have any comments, anything that you would like to share with us, or even if you have some topics that you would like us to talk about on the air, please send it to Joy and Peace Outreach through Blog Talk. We'd be more than happy to help you with any question within the topics that we may not have discussed thus far that you would like to hear us talk about. And so before we leave the air, I want you today, the rest of the week, to encourage yourself. Don't look at somebody else to encourage you. Pat your own self on the back, on the shoulder, and encourage yourself. And as I play, encourage yourself. Be encouraged today. And if I had the tentacles of an octopus, I would tug in each and every one of you all that tuned in to Joy and Peace Outreach. I love each and every one of you all. Be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter how you